Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A. from Colorado, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter titled Bill's Story. We'll be located on page 12 in that first paragraph. The paragraph begins with, despite the living example, and we're going to read through one paragraph, ending with scores of men who felt the same way, commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Teen Tuesday for April, The 12 Steps, Joni C., 12 Traditions, Bonnie B., Reader of the Texts are Heidi B., our closing reader is Elena C., our backup reader today is Carolyn S.H., our newcomer greeter for the in-between, before the second hour, is Vanita L., and our second hour moderator is Eileen M. Here are the reference numbers for yesterday's meeting on Monday, April 1st, 2024. The 7 a.m. Big Book study recording on Eastern Standard Time is 21,272. That's 21272. The 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,273. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Here's our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. It's to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And at a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, friends. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered for today by the grace of God and living in Florida. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, I read the steps instead of the traditions. I'm so sorry. Jen, did I read the wrong ones?
You're okay, Bonnie. It's okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it's 12, okay.
Oh, my goodness. Should I read the traditions?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my goodness. My apologies, everyone.
You're human like
traditions.
Me. Keep going.
Oh, my word. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity, too. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Joni C. and Bonnie B. for your service this morning. Well, folks, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on the topic, but this meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you're done sharing, you let us know by saying pass, and then you press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're resuming our study in the chapter titled Bill's Story in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 12, paragraph number 1, and Heidi B. will begin reading. Thanks, Heidi. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Jen. Heidi B. in New York. Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges of my old prejudice. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. I didn't like the idea. I could go for such conceptions as creative intelligence, the universal mind or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of a czar of the heavens, however loving his sway might be. I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way. Oh, there's so much here. I nod my head every time I read this. I'm like, yep, that's me. That's how I felt. That's exactly how I felt. And I have all these things underlined and circled off. But what really jumps out at me today is that very last sentence. I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way, because that's really the promise. And the great gift of this program is that I don't have to have any idea about what God needs to be, is or isn't. All I have to do is be willing to believe. And when I think about my step two experience, I mean, we come to believe it's a process. And my higher power has continued to reveal himself, itself, herself to me as I continue to experience life and to experience a relationship with that power. I didn't come to me all at once, and I didn't need to figure it out. And I'm so grateful that figuring it out is not one of our steps, because I spun there for a long, long time trying to wrap my head around what it meant and what it was supposed to be and how it was supposed to look. And my experience has been is that, none of that matters. It doesn't matter. I don't need to understand how it all works and what it's supposed to look like, because the thing is, I never will. And it doesn't matter, because all I need to know is my own experience. And it was through working the steps and actually doing the work that I could see God working in my life and know it to be true without needing any intellectual understanding of it. So, I mean, I think, so that's just, that's what pops out at me, is that that's a big promise here. I don't think I know very many people that felt comfortable with the God idea. When I first came in, many of us have that same prejudice, but here we all are recovered anyway. That's the great miracle of it. So I'll leave it there. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you so much, Heidi B. All right. Well, we value everyone's experiences on the line with us today. So we ask that you limit your share to every third day. That way we hear other voices and other people can share their experience too. I'm going to ask for a list of names. If you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, who would like to share today? Go right ahead.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Katie G.
Bonnie. Katie.
Leslie W.
I'm sorry, could you say your first name again? I heard the W.
Leslie.
N-W-H.
Carolyn S-H.
N-W-H. Carolyn S-H. You guys are being really kind to me. Anybody else?
Rivka R.
Thanks, Rivka. All right. This will get us started. Let me tell you who I heard. I heard Bonnie B., Katie G., Leslie W., Ken W.H., Carolyn S.H., and Rivka R. If you'll go ahead and give the state in which you're calling from when you get up to pitch, that way others can find you on the member list. Bonnie B., go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida. Thanks, Jen, for your service. A handful of things jumped out at me. I think it's so interesting that people come in from one of two angles. I came in with a personal relationship with a God that was very personal to me. And so I thought I had nailed step one and two. In fact, every time I relapsed and people would say it's step one or two, I'd say it can't be one or two, because I wouldn't be here if I thought my life was manageable and I had a relationship with the God that I understood to be my Savior. So it can't be one or two. But in the end, it was one and two for me. So I think it's so interesting how we can look at this paragraph and come in from different angles. I love to look up the words. And so it's the first sentence that jumped out at me. Despite the living example, I had people that were living this program in recovery. And they were in front of me, and I was intrigued, and I thought I had what I needed, but I didn't have what I needed, and it was their example that continued to reveal that to me as I went on, and they were gracious and kind to draw me down that road of the steps. It says, you know, despite living example of the friend, there are me the vestiges, and that definition for vestiges is trace evidence of something that is no longer present. Of my old prejudices. I had a lot of prejudices coming in. I would have told you I didn't, but the definition of prejudice is preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. I did have a lot of preconceived opinions coming into this program. I had a real issue with the word higher power, just leveling with you guys, because I came in with a different term that I used. God had to break that stuff down. He had to open my eyes through the steps to help me to see that he's God to every one of us. And I get to step back in this next paragraph that we have that talks about choosing your own conception of God. That's an individual thing for each of us. But God loves each of us exactly the same. And I believe for me, he wants me to be free in this area. And by the grace of God, he's given me freedom. The big book has never been the treasure. It's the treasure map that my God gave me to lead me down this path so I could be free from this thing that's held me back for years. And I love that next word, too. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. The definition for that is aversion or dislike. And the reason I think that stuck out to me is because even though I came in with a strong faith, I still wanted to run the show. I still wanted to call the shots. And so I didn't like the idea of not being able to call the shots. And that's basically what we learn to do in this program, at least what I learned to do, is to toss everything back to God on a daily basis in that step three. And so love the paragraph. Maybe a little different than some of you or others might see it, but so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Right on time. Thanks, Bonnie B. from Florida. Up next, we have Katie G., followed by Leslie W. Good morning to you, Katie.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston, and thank you so much for the share so far. Yeah, you know, when I got into recovery, all I knew was that what I had been doing didn't work, and yet I was terrified to believe in God. I spent a really long time angry at God because I remember being this little girl and getting on my knees and begging for a miracle. And all I could see in my childhood was where God wasn't there, like that I just felt very victimized by God. And I came into OA and, you know, all these people were talking about God and they were living examples of God. And I'm telling you again, like all I knew was that what I did, what I was doing was not working. And since that time, over the 20 years, my biggest question for people has been, like, how do you find God and how do you remember God? And the way that I found God was first being like, you know what I'm doing is not working. And then acting as if, and I know nobody likes that. I know that that's like super uncool to say act as if, but I did. And I started looking for where there were things in my life that I couldn't explain, like I said last week, like connections with others that I couldn't explain. And I would say, thank you, God. Or just a day of abstinence, thank you, God. Or a good meeting, thank you, God. And it's funny because the antipathy caused me to allow choosing my own conception was really awesome for me in the beginning. I was really, really, really afraid of choosing anything that wasn't like a very liberal, all-encompassing God. And what's interesting is as I've taken more and more step twos, God has defined God's self to me even more. And since that time, I've taken the suggestion in the book. In step 11, I've gone, and also in earlier steps where it says, be quick to see where religious people are right. And I know that religion is not always a favorite word on the line, but I'm telling you, religion is a wonderful thing. It's just a group. It's just an organization of people filled with people who are flawed just like us. And over the years, I have pursued my religion, and that has intensified my connection with God. So what am I trying to say? If you're stuck in the food or you don't believe in God, you're in the exact right place, because the steps meet us where we are, and God meets us where we are. So just don't worry about it. God does not make too harsh terms with those who honestly seek. So get abstinent, seek him through the steps, and he's right there for you. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Katie G. from Boston. Up next, we have Leslie W., followed by Ken W. H. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning. This is Leslie W. I'm calling. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee, and I wanted to share this morning because I was sitting in church with my parents on Sunday Easter morning and listening. I grew up in South Georgia, and I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and there was a lot of loud preaching. There was a lot of talk about, you know, you better get saved before it's too late. There was a lot of altar calls. There were a lot of youth choirs and conventions that I attended. I was in that church, you know, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, without fail, every week during my childhood. And I'm not saying that that was a bad thing. My parents did what they felt they needed to do. You know, they felt that I should receive a religious upbringing, and I did. But I have to tell you, when I came into program, it was a hindrance for me. It was a block for me. I had prejudice the other way, like reverse prejudice. I sort of had, I was a hypocrite, no doubt, because I was praising and worshiping God on Sunday morning and then going home and binging my brains out. But I had prejudice against people who did not believe in God, who I could not, I remember years, like I was years in the program before I could say higher power, like it was God and only God. And recent experiences in my life over the past year and a half have proven to test my faith, to test my beliefs. All the things that I believed have been turned upside down. The way that I have lived and conducted my life is now completely different. And I find myself now questioning things that I never really questioned before. And at the age of 45, I feel a sense of freedom that I've never felt before. And I know that it can be scary, but at the same time, and I do get scared, but at the same time, it's also really invigorating and really exciting to be able to reinvent yourself and have your own conception. You know, you can have your own life. You can make your own choices. I can make my own choices in life. And for a person who has felt victimized or felt like, or maybe a lot of us have been abused by people in our lives and the church itself. But, you know, now that we're adults and grown men and women, we can choose our own conception and we can choose which way we want to go. And, you know, I like those books, Choose Your Own Adventure. We can choose our own adventure. We can choose our own concept, and we can make our own choices in life. What a gift. Like, what an exhilarating, exciting, scary as hell, but amazing opportunity to live our lives and really live and not be stuck in a room with our food. And so I'm going to pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Leslie. That's awesome. Leslie W. from Tennessee. Up next, we have Ken W. H., and Ken W. H. will be followed by Carolyn S. H. Hey, Ken.
Hey, good morning, Jen. This is Ken WH, recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I need to read this paragraph in its context for Bill. One thing I'm aware of is that when Ebby sat down at that table and Bill asked him what's going on, Ebby just said, "I've got religion." And notice that he did not say what kind of religion. I immediately jumped to the idea that he's talking about Christianity, as it turns out, he probably was, but Bill doesn't know that. All he said was religion, and it could have been any religion. But I'm also aware that Bill is post-World War I, post-Tsarist Russia. He's seen all the damage that kind of image of power and some of what he probably heard as a kid, this idea of God being a czar of the heavens. And World War I was ugly, and just plain ugly. I would, I can understand exactly where Bill might have been coming from. But I've also aware, too, that this is really early for Bill. We don't have the steps yet, but it shows up when he came up with the second step for me, one of the most powerful steps in the book. And there's one word in it that is critical to understanding, I think, where Bill was coming from and a good place to start. And it's the word that says, came to believe that, THAT. Doesn't say in, it says came to believe that there was a power greater than myself. Doesn't say God, doesn't say anything else, doesn't even say higher power, capital letters. It just says came to believe that a power greater than myself could solve my problem. And that is what I came to believe, and that's what I have experienced in my life. There's no call to believe in any particular thing here in the steps at this point. And actually, there's no call to believe in any particular thing through the entire process. That's all my interpretation, perhaps, of what I've heard and what I read. So, boy, that word, that, is so important. I just need to know that there's a power greater than me. Whenever I call it, whatever it looks like, whatever it is or isn't, it's bigger than me. And it solved my problem with food. And I'm so very grateful for that recognition and realization. So I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Carolyn S.H. followed by Rivka R. Carolyn, go right ahead.
Hi, good morning, Jen. Good morning, everyone. I'm starting my timer. Carolyn S.H., recovered in Massachusetts. I so appreciate everything I've heard this morning. And this paragraph, to me, is like a transition paragraph in the context of Bill describing to us his story, going from like his journey, going from skepticism to the willingness to believe in a power greater than himself that could restore him to sanity, which of course, we don't have that wording yet, but I was brought up in a religion that taught me about a punishing God. But at the same time, I was also able to create a relationship with a higher power that I had a very specific name at the time and a very specific traditional concept at the time that did work for me. And it was so when I got to the rooms, it was actually quite confusing because I had both the punishing, critical, destructive image internally and the loving image internally. So going through this chapter many times has been really helpful to me. And Bill is talking about his what he later kind of brings the reader through, I believe, in chapter 4, We Agnostics. And he talks, like in this paragraph, he actually lists a couple of names for God. I could go for such conceptions as creative intelligence, universal mind or spirit of nature. And then in chapter 4 in We Agnostics, there's another dozen or so names, capitalized possible names of a power greater than oneself. And in that chapter, he gives us reasons not to believe, but reasons to be willing to believe. And one of my sponsors had brought me through that chapter, asked me to find those reasons, and that was a great exercise. Another exercise I've done is to list all those capitalized terms and answer the question that's on page 48, is what do these terms mean to me? And try to set aside my prejudice, and I have 10 seconds left, and my prejudice was so complicated, and it's still evolving. My relationship and my concept of a higher power is still evolving, and that's my time. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Carolyn S.H. from Massachusetts. Up next, we have Rivka R., and after Rivka, we'll take another list of names. So go ahead, Rivka. If you'll press star one, Rivka, I can't hear you.
Sorry, I thought I had muted. good morning, everyone. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And thanks, Jen, for your service and everyone on the line and everyone's incredible shares so far. My sponsor had once told me that that prejudice is old ideas. And I once heard someone say to someone who didn't believe in God, well, I don't believe in the God that you don't believe in either, which I thought was a great answer because, you know, in other words, like it's my limiting beliefs that I don't believe in. And when I read this paragraph, like what jumped out at me was my progression from my childish conception of the Tsar of the Heavens, you know, some kind of anthropomorphic human image that, you know, had a lightning bolt, you know, in his hand and was going to zap me if I, you know, did anything wrong. To not believing in anything as an adolescent, to a spiritual experience that I had when I was 16, that, you know, where I started, my mind started opening up that there was something beyond what I was seeing in this world, to that concept of the creative intelligence and universal mind and spirit of the nature, that's exactly, you know, what I thought. And yes, it is all that, but, I mean, not the zapping person, God, but... anyway, reconnecting, you know, to my own religion that I which I never really understood, or, you know, I mean, I was Jewish, but I didn't have any connection or learning or understanding of what that meant. And in my early 20s, and all the profound depth and knowledge and vastness and oneness of God, and the, you know, commandments that He gave me, which direction for my own life, there still wasn't a relationship. To really growing in thank God I can say that I'm an addict and I needed something that was so much more that I could have a relationship with, and growing in that connection with this amazing power who loves me. Like every morning I say, you know, God, you know me and love me. Like help me know you and love you, and help me fulfill my purpose. You know, to reveal godliness in the world and to know your power and your love and really have a relationship on a daily conscious basis with something that's so beyond me that, I mean, the most real thing I can say is to know that I don't know, but I know that you're there and I know that I can trust you and I know that I can rely on you and I know that you love me and want me just as I am and you want me to reveal your godliness in the world by being in relationship with you. And And thank God, you know, I mean, obviously, that only happens when I'm not bowing down to the food god, and being able to, you know, today to have that blessing to be in that relationship today is just, it's just the biggest miracle and blessing in my life today. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Perfect timing. There you go. Thank you, Rivka R. from Baltimore. All right, folks, we're halfway through the meeting this morning, the first hour, and we do value everyone's experience who's on the line today. We ask that you limit your share to every third day. That way we can hear other voices and other experience as well. So if you'd like to share on what was read today, you can give me the first name, your first name, your first initial of your last name. We're on page 12, paragraph 1 of Bill's story. Go right ahead.
Kathy J.
Kathy J.
Chris G.
Chris G.
Beth B.
Beth B.
Amy G.
Amy G.
Erin K.
Erin K.
Lisa B.
Lisa B. All right, that sounds awesome. Anyone else? Did you just unmute?
Francis D.
Francis.
Michigan.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Let's see, from Michigan. All right, that's perfect.
Maria.
I think that'll be an awesome. Say it again.
Maria G.
Maria G. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll stop there. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. All right, let me tell you who I heard this morning. If you unmuted, press star 1 to mute your phone again. I heard Kathy J., Chris G., Beth B., Amy G., Erin K., Lisa B., Francis D., and Maria G. I think I got that. All right, let's take a stab at it. Kathy, go right ahead.
Hi, everybody. Kathy J. in Illinois, recovered. Compulsive overeater. So what I got so far, you know, and it goes on to say, Bill goes on to say, he was aghast when he hears about the religious part. And I bristled. We all bristle. That's normal when we come in. And I was thinking about being 2 years old spiritually, how we stop thinking we need to grow, and we think we need to either, I mean, I thought I either needed to accept my church of my childhood's beliefs, or I was bad, but it never occurred to me to find a relationship. So spiritually, I mean, I think of a two-year-old not growing any taller, and a two-year-old's like, no, I'll do it myself, mine. You know, that was me when I came in. I wasn't growing spiritually or finding emotional balance because the food was in the way and it affected me, and it still will in a physical, emotional, and spiritual way that maybe others don't get affected. And you know, what I learned when I came in here was, I was asking God to give me what I wanted. And when I didn't get what I wanted, I thought God had, you know, failed, and a fear of punishment. And I think fear of punishment's normal. Severe punishment, no. But when I did crap wrong, I was supposed to feel bad. But the problem is I didn't go far. You know, I would eat over it instead of grow over it or learn. Or do something else. So opening my mind to a power greater, A, was because I was desperate, and B, because I saw it work in other people to try the God idea. But everyone doesn't need that gift of desperation, because I've seen lots of people whose bottom was raised, and that's what is happening to Bill. His bottom is being raised by Abby, you know, and he can see the evidence, and he looked beyond his doubt or his rigid prejudice. And that's what I got to do every day. Every day I have to grow up, keep growing spiritually like I grew physically, and keep looking for balance through the program and the steps and reading the book and listening and seeing, you know, I started seeing evidence of coincidences, things going better, other people not overeating for years. I was like, how is that even possible? And here's Ebby sober. How is that even possible? He was in front of a judge. He was a drunk. And that was me. I was out of control. And I'm grateful for abstinence and for all of you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy J. from Illinois. Up next, we have Chris G., followed by Beth B. Chris, press star one.
Okay. Well, thank you. I started out with thank you. Thank you for making this meeting happen, and thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone that has shared today. And my name is Chris G. I live in Tennessee. I spell it with a K. And so we've got this living example of Evie, and we talk about my old prejudices. And the word of God still arise certain antipathy. When the thought that there might be a God personal to me, you know, I didn't like the idea. So what's my problem? My problem is sometimes perfection, and that I think I need to be perfect, and that that's maybe my prejudice is that might be possible. I think the power, some of the power of what we see is seeing other people live non-perfect lives and accepting that it's okay to not be perfect. And, you know, part of my personal disease is self-hatred and just not being very nice to myself. And it just, I go back to that easily. And so seeing the example of my sponsor and seeing that she shows up at the meeting and that she speaks up at the meeting. And I've had a hard time speaking up at the meeting. And part of that is because I want everybody to think I'm perfect and I'm, you know, something that I'm not. And so it's so important to be around people and see their living example. And so it's okay if I'm not perfect and I can be kind to myself. Or I can't. Maybe I can't be kind to myself, but through God and God's grace, I can see the beauty in life. And so my final thing is I have to seek God. Seek God. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris G. from Tennessee. Chris with a K. Up next, we have Beth B., followed by Amy G. Beth, press star one.
Hi. I got it. Can you hear me? Am I heard?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, great. Hi, my name is Beth B., and I'm recovering from food addiction and compulsive overeating. And I love this topic so very much. My parents were very prejudiced against religion. As a matter of fact, my father said, do not mention the word Jesus Christ in this house. And so they were definitely, I don't even know if they were agnostic. I mean, they were so passionate against any idea of a higher power, and they were very self-determined, and so it took me decades for me to rely on a higher power, because that was stamped on my forehead. If you want it done, you got to do it yourself. But when I was 16, I was in the courtyard of my high school, And all of a sudden, I was out in nature, and something blissful grabbed me, and it was quite clear to me that there was something beyond the material, and there was a spirit. And so I started my spiritual search from 16 to my present age now, which is now 61. And I spent decades in this program looking for my higher power in the Bigfoot, being so frustrated, and reading different types of books, going to Bible studies, going to every which way. And finally, I'm so grateful because I found this woman recently who I can relate to that perfectionism thing. You know, I look into Christianity and Buddhism and, you know, at least different forms of religion. And if they weren't exactly true, exactly perfect, you know, I'm a perfectionist. It had to be the truth, exactly perfect, every single time. And recently somebody's been taking me through the Bible. See, I don't have any of that forcing down my throat from a church. It's just a beautiful piece of literature to me. And it doesn't matter to me that it might not be 100% correct. It's about love, and it's like poetry. And this woman who's taking me through it is showing me great things through it. And I never thought I'd be here. And for the first time in my recovery, I'm able to know I'm not alone. I will also say nature is, every day I'm getting outside, and that really heals me a lot. And I can
kindly
see love. Thank you. I can see love in other people now and the goodness in other people, whereas before I was very judgmental and critical. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. That's where you're calling from today. Up next, we have Amy G, followed by Aaron K. Good morning, Amy.
Sorry, I accidentally muted myself. I'm from Florida. And it's under
okay.
Becky.
Good morning.
Lee.
Good morning, Amy. Go right ahead.
Okay, thanks, Jen. Good morning. My name is Amy G, and I'm recovered support leader from Maryland. Thank you so much for your service. Appreciate you running the show here. Great job. So I just always have to laugh or smile or whatever in this paragraph when he says, you know, I didn't like the idea. And, you know, there was a lot of ideas that I thought I had and that other people had that I didn't like. But here is Bill, you know, he's sitting in front of Evie, who looks like he's grasped, you know, a new way to be sober. He's grasped a new soul. We were just talking about that yesterday. And now he's ready to start to pitch it because his hackles are raising about this whole God idea. Well, I mean, I don't know about Bill, but I'm getting the same impression that I did, is that this whole idea of I, me, myself, and I was not working too well. Just like my sponsor said to me, you know, in early recovery, if your way is working so well, why are you here? This is a program of ego reduction. And as much as my hackles raised when I first heard the word God in this OA meeting, as a matter of fact, my first OA meeting, when I heard the word God, I literally got up in the middle of the meeting and I left because I was so firmly entrenched in my agnosticism. But God bless someone in this fellowship, this God with skin on, if you will, followed me out of the room and handed me the pamphlet, 15 Questions, Are You a Compulsive Overeater? And said, you know, the only requirement for membership is a desire to not be crazy with food. And I got that because my ideas were killing me. So I finally had to be open because at the, you know, at the death of this disease, I had no other choice. This was the last house on the block for me. So I became open and willing as only the dying can be. Yes, I may not have liked the idea at the time, but my ideas were not working for me and they were killing me. So I had to be open. I mean, it talks about this on page 58 or 9 in the chapter, How It Works.
you know, some of us tried to hold on to our old ideas, but the result was nil until we let go absolutely. You know, the next page, they talk about selfishness, self-centeredness, self-absorption. We have to get rid of it or it kills us. I finally had to look outside of myself and surrender to the fact that I could not fix myself, that this disease was killing me. And I had to see what other people had that could show me, you know, in whom the problem had been solved. So I had to be open and willing to do it. And we're going to talk more about willingness as we move through the steps. But I finally had to surrender to what my ego and my pride, when my hackles would raise and say, oh, no, not that. I had to then go, well, wait a minute. How is my way working? How are things going for me? And I had to always revert back to that when those things happened, when I wanted to balk about certain steps, when there were things that I didn't like. Sure, I didn't like it, but how is my way working for me? So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Amy G. from Maryland. Up next, we're going to have Erin K. followed by Lisa B. And if everybody kind of trims their shares out a little, hopefully we can get the rest of the people in. Go right ahead, Erin.
Good morning, Jen. This is Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. I really shared, I think, Bill's objections to this idea of some kind of a czar of the heavens, you know, some being up there pulling all the strings in all of our lives. And I had the opportunity to do this spiritual principles exercise recently. You know, there's like a really long list of spiritual principles in the big book, you know, various ways of talking about, you know, higher power, God, and other spiritual concepts. And I went through them with another fellow recently. And one of these principles was this idea of the czar of the heavens. And so we looked it up, and, you know, one of the definitions is a person appointed by government to advise on and coordinate policy in a particular area. And, to, you know, I don't have any objection to that idea, you know, because I had to appoint God the czar of my life. And I, every morning I wake up and ask him to advise me on every single word and action and decision and coordinate policy on my work life, my relationships, how I relate to food, everything I put in my mouth. You know, I ask him not just to meet my needs, but to define them. And someone told me at one point when I was really struggling early on in recovery that anything you reach for in a moment of distress, in that moment, that is your higher power. It's your God. And I've come to realize that, like, it doesn't so much matter what I believe, like what I believe, what my specific, you know, concept is. And it's kind of, you know, like pride to think that anyone cares. You know? It's not what I believe, it's what I do. And what do I do in those moments that are hard? What do I reach for? Where do I turn? And when the answer is God, when the answer is prayer, when the answer is picking up the phone and, you know, letting someone, a fellow, help God help me, my life turns out better every time. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Erin K. from Michigan. Up next is Lisa B. Go right ahead, Lisa.
This is Lisa B. from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for everybody that shared already. I can so relate to Bill's experience with Ebby because I've had many Ebbies in my life. And that was what stood out for me, was watching the change in them from before recovery into what they were like since recovery. I like the part where it talks about the antipathy. I could relate to that too, and the spirit of nature, because that was my first higher power. And I too almost left when I heard them talking about God in the beginning. But the thing that kind of snagged me and kept me in recovery or trying to get recovery was when they talked about my own understanding of a higher power. That was new to me and gave me a little hope. It put a crack in my prejudice. But it's been a gradual process to the higher power that I have today. Lots of spiritual awakenings along the way. And today, my relationship with my God is wonderful, and I want more, just like with the food. It's just wonderful and growing, and I'm so grateful for the program. I have a good idea of where I would be without recovery today in all its forms. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa B. from Michigan. Unfortunately, the clock is running out of time, and we don't have time to hear Francis D. or Maria G. I hope that you'll stick around and share in the second unrecorded hour. But thank you so much for everybody who has shared today. Please join us for that second unrecorded hour of study immediately following this closing. Here's the share ID for today. Grab your pen and paper. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time recorded meeting. The share ID number is 21,275. That's 21275. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elena C. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, Shore. Elena C., South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in our morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May